I want to start a new series that really, I think, it is going to help all of us, especially this time of year. You know, it says that we don't get enough sunlight and things like that. And how many know sickness can knock at your door? Even they even tell us in commercials that you're going to get sick, that you are going to get sick no matter what. But you know, Jesus paid the price for our health. Not only colds and flus, but he paid a price for cancer, heart disease, whatever it is. He made us right with God, spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. I want to read one scripture and start out with this. 3 John verse 2, he says this. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things," say all things, "and be in health just as your soul prospers." And what we're going to find out by the Word of God and through the course of this series is that healing starts with what we believe. And really, God doesn't just have the answer for our physical healing, but he's got an answer for every area of our life. Jesus came to make you and I whole, free of fears, free of frustration, free of doubt, bringing spiritual, physical, and mental healing. And that's what we're going to talk about throughout the course of this series. See, the healing that God brings, you and I receive, is based on his love. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:6 that faith works through love. And so you and I have got to realize that it's the love of God that brings us not only salvation when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, but it brings us the healing that you and I need for our bodies, healing us spiritually, physically, mentally, in anything that we need. As a matter of fact, I want to add this scripture. It wasn't in our original notes, but if you can look up in the New King James Version, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, New King James Version, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely," which is to set us apart, ready for service, "and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, see, you see, God has a plan for us, spirit, soul, and body. We're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, and we'll talk more about that throughout the course of this teaching. But see, Jesus came to make us whole, to make us whole. Healthy relations, healthy attitudes, healthy habits are all very, very important. See, God is interested in every detail of our lives. And when you and I don't allow him in a certain area, I believe it's virtually impossible to receive the deliverance and the freedom that we need, to really be whole, spirit, soul, and body. We've got to allow God into our lives to look deep inside and to bring the healing that we need. Psalm 37, 23, it says, "He delights in every detail of their lives." Every time I read that, I'm encouraged because I know it doesn't matter how big it is, it doesn't matter how small it is, that God delights in the details of my life. He delights in the details of your life. So open up to him today. Open up to him as we get through the scriptures, as we start to look at healing, and allow him to bring the comfort, the healing, the deliverance that you need. Luke 12, 6, it says, "What is the price of 5 sparrows? A couple of pennies? Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows." See, God is interested in every detail of our lives. Oral Roberts said this, a great preacher, healing evangelist of the 20th century. He said, "My life and your life are as much a necessary part of God's design as the thread the weaver weaves into the pattern of his carpet. Not only am I responsible to him, he is responsible for me. The course of our lives is his business." I love that. It's so true. God cares about you. He cares about me. But you and I have a responsibility, and that's really to partner with him. I mean, it doesn't mean that God won't bring the healing that we need, but I see it time and again. People come, and we love to open up our prayer lines, and we pray for people during worship. If you come and ask for prayer, we'll pray for you anytime. But so many times, we'll ask for prayer for a physical need that we have, but then we really don't partner with God. What do I mean by that? I mean, we really don't live a life that allows us to be able to grow in our relationship with him. Remember, God has a plan for your life, spirit, soul, and body. And for us, he doesn't only want to make us healthy. He wants us to be able to be so healthy and so aware of the healing power of God in our lives that we are really walking around sharing the love, sharing the healing, sharing the prosperity with everyone we come in contact with. And you can't do that by just saying, "Oh, Lord, I need some healing and I need it now." All right? See, God wants to meet our needs, spirit, soul, and body. His desire is to give us a more abundant life full of joy and strength. God not only wants us to use our faith to be healed, but also he wants us to use faith to change our lives so that we can successfully meet all the enemies that we have in life. And so really, it's a partnership. I cannot say that enough. If you and I are going to live the healthy lifestyle that God has for us, not only bringing healing in our lives, but bringing it to other people, we have got to realize that God wants us to meet the enemies in our life successfully. What we believe about healing is extremely, extremely important. And as we look at some scriptures today, we're going to see that many times when Jesus healed someone, he would say, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." And you'll see at every point as we go through this, there's always some kind of a point of contact. There's always something that Jesus, even the man with the withered hand, we're not going to look at that today. We will over the next couple of weeks. But he had to extend his hand in faith. And so you and I need to realize that it's our faith is so important. Our faith is so important. I want to read a story of a woman with the issue of blood. Some of us are familiar with this scripture. If you would, Will, if you'd look up Mark chapter 5, just another version of the same story. We're going to read both of these, but if you would look up Mark chapter 5, again, New King James Version, verses 25 and 26. We're not going to turn there right now, but I just wanted you to get that ready. So Matthew 5, 25 and 26. But I want to read Matthew 9, 18. I say the first one's Mark 5, 25. I think I said Matthew, but I want to read Matthew 9, which is in our notes. If you want to follow along on your smartphone, you're able to do that through YouVersion. You can just go to Live Event, and you can follow right along on the notes there. Matthew 9, verse 18. It says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" We'll look at that in just a moment. But verse 19, "So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said in herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" You see, that is a point of where she is making contact, and by her faith, she's saying, "If I could just touch his garment, I will be made well." That's her faith working. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, I want to read Mark 5. Same story, Mark 5, 25 and 26. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." And the reason I want to look at that is I think we need to realize, I believe, the incredible amount of faith and strength that this woman had to muster up, if you will, to be able to reach out. Understand, she had a flow of blood when we don't know exactly what that infirmity was, but she had a flow of blood. And if you look at the Old Testament laws and things that the people of God would have to stick to, she would have been an outcast from society. Probably her husband would have divorced her. So this would have been a woman. She was married. Her husband would have divorced her. She's really been an outcast from her family. Not just her family, but an outcast from everyone, because she really shouldn't have even been in a place like she was around other people. The Bible even says in another place about this story that they were thronging Jesus. They were coming in on Jesus. They were pressing in on Jesus. There were so many people around him, but she came through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Can you imagine? She had to push beyond social things. She had to push beyond the rejection that she may have felt. She had to push beyond the fact, the Bible says that she went to many physicians and spent all her money. And not only did she not get better, but she grew worse. How many know? You know, you need a touch of God sometimes. You need a touch of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with doctors, but I'll tell you what, it is God who heals. It is God who heals. And you'll even see in the medical field, and we're going to read a quote from Johns Hopkins Hospital here in a moment. But really, when we have even just a positive outlook, our healing comes better. But it's Jesus who really brings healing. You know, medicine can help, doctors can help, but it's God who brings the healing that we need. And so she touched Jesus, and her faith immediately healed her. And I really believe that that's freedom and abundant life. Not only is she healed, but she would no longer be an outcast. God just really made her whole completely. Now, I want to talk about some things that will help us receive the healing that you and I need. And number one, if you're going to receive healing, you have got to know that it's God's will to heal you. Number one, you have got to know that it's God's will. See, most people will recognize that God has healing power. Even people who necessarily don't believe in God may say, well, yeah, I believe God could heal or Jesus healed. I mean, you can't deny that Jesus was a real man and he went around doing good works. So people will say, well, yeah, I believe God wants to heal, even Christians. But so many times we struggle in believing that either it's for today or that it's for me. And you have got to settle in your heart that it is for today and it is for me. Say, it's for today. Say, it's for me. If you're going to receive healing, if you're going to live the supernatural lifestyle that God has for you, spirit, soul, and body, you and I have got to believe that it's God's will to heal me, not only me, but every person who calls upon his name. If we believe that God would heal one and not another, then we really don't believe in the love of God. And I believe it's the love of God, because the Bible said, remember we read it earlier, or quoted it, I should say, that faith works through love. And if we don't believe that God would, if we believe rather that God would heal one person but not another, we really don't believe in the love of God. Let me explain. The Bible says in John 3:16, most of us know it, God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's for anyone that would believe. It's the love of God. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, say all, should come to repentance. And so you see here that God extends his love equally to anyone that would call upon his name. And if faith works through love, I believe we could say, look, if we think God's going to heal this person and that person, we see he's going to heal people in the Bible but not me, then we really don't have a revelation of the love of God. Does that make sense to you this morning? 1 John 4:18, it says this, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, and we love because he first loved us. Again, faith works through love. So we're responding to the love of God, which I believe brings the healing that you and I need. God's love heals. God loves everyone the same. Therefore, God heals everyone the same. Now, you may be here this morning, you say, well, but Pastor, I prayed for somebody, and they didn't get well. They didn't get healed. I know that can happen, but listen, every time you go to the doctor, you don't get better, but you go back, don't you? Think about that. I mean, so many times people go, well, you know, I prayed and didn't get this, or I prayed and didn't get that. In fact, sometimes we can go to a doctor and get worse, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Come on, somebody, it's true. Sometimes they can give you medication. It's like, man, get me off those, all the side effects and everything. No, I'm not. Doctors are trying to help. But we still continue to go. Listen, you have got to continue to stir yourself up on your faith. You've got to believe God. I have got to believe God for healing and understand that it works through his love. And he died to set us free to bring us the healing that we need, spirit, soul, and body. Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Healed, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Say, I were healed. You just repeated me in improper English. Do you realize that? But you see, it's a past tense. It's a past tense that Jesus has brought the healing you and I need. Matter of fact, referencing the same scripture, Matthew 8:16, it says this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all. How many? He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, I wanted to look at all three of these verses, because sometimes people say, well, yeah, Jesus died just to make us right with God. Jesus died and took stripes on his back just to give us the peace that we need. But you see here that the Bible is telling us that as he healed the sick, he was fulfilling this scripture. So it's spirit, say spirit, say soul, say body. See, the healing that God has provided through the atonement of Jesus Christ brings healing and health for every area of our lives. When Jesus heals, he's setting us free from the oppression of the devil. See, sickness is not listed as a blessing from the Lord. You can look at Deuteronomy 28. We're not going to turn there this morning, but it is not listed as a blessing. Sometimes people say, well, you know, this is just my cross to bear. Or, you know, God's just teaching me something through this. Now, I agree that as we go through things, God will teach us. But God does not make his children sick. You've got to realize that it is the devil who is oppressing. I mean, if you've ever, has anybody ever had a flu or a cold or even a major sickness? Anybody? Let me tell you, does that feel like God gave? Does that feel like something that came from God? Hello. It is from the devil. Good God, bad devil. Jesus came to give us abundant life. See, it's always considered a curse. Sickness, in fact, I believe, is the enemy of life. Sickness is the enemy of life. I mean, you think about it. A friend of ours just passed away on Christmas Day. She had battled cancer for years, really got more than 15, 16 years believing God and doing well, and it came back. And she, you know, here's the thing. We're all going to go on to be with Jesus, but it shouldn't stop us from believing God. Matter of fact, this woman would be the first to say, you know, Jesus heals. Jesus heals. But, you know, when you lose a loved one or you see someone who's sick, you know for sure that it is the enemy of life. There is nothing delightful about it. There's nothing that we like about it. In fact, I believe when somebody dies, it feels extremely unnatural. I think that's why there's so much sadness. I think that's why there's so remorse when people die. I believe with all my heart that we were originally meant to live forever. And that's why Jesus came and redeemed us. And now he says, he who believes on me has eternal life. That means we live forever with him. And that's why it's so unnatural. So sickness and death is something that comes from the enemy. Acts 10:38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, say all, who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so you see here, if Jesus is bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil, then sickness is part of the oppression of the devil. As a matter of fact, in the story of Job, some of us may be familiar with that. The devil comes and kills his family, his wife, his children, takes all his livestock, his crops, puts sickness on him, takes everything away. But listen what it says at the end of Job 42, verse 10. It says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And so you see, God's heart in all of this is to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Say abundantly. And so if you and I are going to really receive from the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, we've got to realize, spirit, soul, and body, that God has given us all that we need to live a successful, prosperous, healthy life. Sickness is listed, in fact, in Deuteronomy 28 as one of the curses of the law. It's a curse of the law. And Jesus came to set you and I free of the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus became a curse for us so that we would not have to bear the curses of the law. Healing is for me. Say, healing is for me. Look at someone next to you. Say, healing is for you. See, I believe that sickness is something to be healed and to be destroyed by faith. Let me say that again. Sickness is something that is to be healed and destroyed by the working of our faith. And that's what you and I have got to realize, Mark 16:17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they what? Will recover. They will recover. Healing is for you and for me. James 5:15. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So it's the prayer of faith that will save and heal the sick. See, healing was and still is a significant part of the atoning power of Jesus. And you know, as you take a look at the life of Jesus, it seems like Jesus was either on his way to heal somebody, he was in the process of healing somebody, or just finished healing someone. Matthew 9:18, where we started this morning. Let's read this again here. Verse 18, it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And so as we started reading here, and we focused on the woman with the issue of blood, you see that when Jesus came in contact with this woman, he was on his way to bring healing to someone else. And we read that in verse 20 and 22. Look at verse 23. It says, when Jesus came in the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, these really were professional mourners. That's the best way I can put it to you. They were professional mourners. You would hire people and they would mourn and they would wail and they would play a certain style of music, something we're not used to in our culture necessarily. But that's what was going on here. They figured she was dead and they were already mourning for her as if she was dead. And he says to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. I love this. I want to just encourage you this morning. Do you know God and Jesus do not look at things the way you and I do? It is never over. It is never, ever over. Jesus said, he's sleeping. She's sleeping. Matter of fact, when he went to heal Lazarus and to raise him from the dead, he said, he's sleeping. All right? Understand, God never looks at things as final. And it says they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. See, Jesus is just healing people everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. For us to think that it's not God's will to heal is ridiculous. For us to not see through Scripture that it's God's will to heal, not only then, but today, is really ridiculous. Jesus is all about healing. It says, come and heal us, have mercy on us, verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Isn't that interesting? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Let me ask you this morning, do you believe that God is able to bring healing into your life, spirit, soul, body, emotionally, physically? See, so many times Jesus will say, well, what do you believe? What do you say? Your faith has made you well. Listen, you and I have got to believe that the love of God, the faith of God, brings healing into our lives. He says to them, yes, Lord, or they said to him, rather, verse 29. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. See, this is why it's so important, as we said early on, you and I have got to partner with God. It's not a matter of just getting an answer to a prayer. It's a matter of partnering with God and allowing God to really work in our lives, not only to bring healing to us, but allow us to be able to bring healing everywhere we go. And then if you read, we're not going to turn to it this morning, but Jesus goes from there. First, you know, he's on his way to heal the girl that was dead. He heals the woman with the issue of blood. He heals two blind men. And then he goes and he casts out a demon. I'm going to tell you, everything Jesus did was to set us free from those who were oppressed of the devil. It's God who wants to heal us. It's God who wants to set us free. Matter of fact, there's a story in the Bible about a man named blind Bartimaeus. And he shouted out to Jesus on the road, and his disciples told him to be quiet. Jesus commanded them to bring him to him, and he asked, what do you want me to do for you? Now, he was known as blind Bartimaeus because I believe that people knew him as the blind guy that sat alongside the road, very common in some societies still today, but certainly in the time that Jesus lived. And so he would be there. They knew he was blind Bartimaeus, but Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Listen, you've got to make a decision. It's your faith that brings healing for you. The blind man said to him in verse 51, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your what? Faith. Your faith has made you well. We see this time and time again. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus on the road. So he received his sight, and then he followed Jesus. Again, you see that God not only wants to heal him of his blindness, but he wants him to be a follower of Jesus. Listen, you and I have got to realize that we need to partner with God. We've got to believe that healing is for me. We've got to believe that healing, number two, begins within. That healing begins on the inside. Listen, I believe your soul governs your physical life. Your illnesses, distresses, torments can be passed on from your mind to your body. And study after study proves this. You can suffer from things like heart trouble, high blood pressure, ulcers, some forms of asthma, high tension, nervousness, insecurity, lack of faith, fear, frustrations are symptoms really of a man's soul sickness. Matter of fact, Johns Hopkins Hospital on Cancer said this, the Institute. Cancer is a disease of the mind, body, and spirit. A proactive and positive spirit will help the cancer warrior be a survivor. Anger, unforgiving, and bitterness put the body into a stressful and acidic environment. Learn to have a loving and forgiving spirit. Learn to relax and enjoy life. I mean, that is, even without having the faith to believe that Jesus heals, if you and I would just get rid of bitterness and stuff, so much of the time, if we would just eat properly, if we would exercise, if we would take care of ourselves, if we would live in forgiveness, it would really help us to live the kind of lifestyle so much that God has for us. Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And broken means to be smitten or to strike or to hit. Matter of fact, most of us probably know this, but bone marrow produces all blood cells, but in particular, red blood cells, which bring healing. And so your bones and my bones have got to be healthy. So you and I have really got to live a life where we're full of faith, believing God, full of joy, believing God for a healthy, fit, strong life that the healing power of Jesus Christ is flowing through us, spirit, soul, and body. We must change the way we think. Once you and I become born again, we should not allow sinful behavior in our lives. What do I mean by that? We shouldn't, as Christians, be living below the standard of the grace of God that's been brought into our lives. You and I have got to believe that we were forgiven and that healing comes through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:2, he says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And really, living in sin is really just missing the mark. Let me just say it that way. Missing the mark, not living a life based on the principles, the grace, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are dominated by fear and anxiety, we are not in faith, and we are out of tune with God. Again, remember, healing begins within. Remember, Jesus said to the blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? You got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision on the inside. Matter of fact, you saw us playing guitars up here this morning. A good example, really, I believe, would be if you take a guitar, that's like your body, but your fingers are like your soul. You and I have got to allow our mind to start to think on the things of God. We shouldn't, once we become believers in Jesus Christ, should not allow ourselves to really live in the gutter, so to speak. We shouldn't allow ourselves to live in the sins of our past. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be drawn back, to be beat up, to allow this anger and bitterness and things in our soul that really keep us sick and keep us back from receiving the healing that Jesus wants us to have. See, sin is the only thing that can separate us from God. Isaiah 59:2, he says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. See, grace is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You and I have got to learn to believe that Jesus Christ not only came to make us right with him and to give us eternity with Father God, but he came to bring the healing atonement that we're talking about today. See, if you and I are entertaining all kinds of sinful thoughts, all kinds of things that are below the standard of the grace and the forgiveness of God, we are not going to be able to believe God by faith for the healing that we're talking about. Because what ends up happening, if you're living a life where you're under condemnation, where you're constantly beating yourself up, where you constantly feel like less. Maybe you read the word and you say, yeah, that might be true, but. You and I have got to stop living that way. We got to realize that healing starts in the mind, what we believe. 1 John 3:21, he says, beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Listen, condemnation will stop us from having confidence in God. When we allow the grace of God to take care of that condemnation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen, Jesus has paid the price for us to be healthy, spirit, soul, and body. James 1, 6 says we should ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Listen, if we don't settle in our minds that Jesus came and paid the price for our healing, we're going to have a hard time receiving the healing that we need. It says in James 2:17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The bottom line is you and I cannot serve the devil with our life without losing the battle of life. We have got to realize that we have been bought with a price. Therefore, we honor God and serve God with our bodies, with our minds. We realize that, look, Jesus came and paid the price for me to be healthy and whole, spirit, soul, and body. And I really believe there cannot be a physical healing until a miracle has happened in our soul. When we refuse God to heal our soul, we stop the flow of his healing power. And so today, let me encourage you. Let God into your soul and let his healing virtue into your body. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, today I thank you that by Jesus' stripes we have been healed, spirit, soul, and body. I pray for every person here, Lord God, that we would start to have a revelation of what the atonement of Jesus Christ has brought to us, that we don't live according to the flesh, that we don't live according to the sins of our past, but we live according to the redemption and the atonement of Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord, we lift up every physical, mental, emotional healing that we need, whether it's relationships, physical needs, mental needs. And we thank you that by Jesus' stripes you have met every need, and by Jesus' stripes we were healed. And so we receive it in our body today. And we give you thanks and honor in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you. Remember we said, really, you've got to receive wholeness and wellness in your soul, in your spirit, before you can receive physical healing, mental healing. And really the step in that direction is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not only will it mean that you're on your way to heaven, but God has got a plan for your life as a disciple of Christ that you cannot even imagine. He wants to take you and set your feet upon a rock and give you a future and a hope today. And so if you're here today and you've never prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, we want to pray for you today. Maybe you prayed a prayer like that, but today you know as you sit here that you're not living for God. We want to pray for you today so that you can come back to Jesus, so that you can say, you know, I want to be a disciple. I make Jesus the Lord or boss of my life. So if I'm here today and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know that I'm right with God. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. On the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand up quick. Lift it up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out this morning. We encourage you to...